The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Seven, Mr. Outdoor, standing by. We'll talk with him in a minute or two here. But Terry wanted to weigh in on some issues here. How are you doing this morning, Terry? Welcome.
Yeah, good morning, Bill.
Morning.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to point out and something to watch tomorrow for Super Tuesday. But the state of California passed a bill to where you can't hand count ballots. And Shasta County, just south of us, said, hey, we're not doing that. We're gonna still count them by hand.
Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow they're recalling. I guess they have a board of supervisors. So tomorrow they're gonna vote on recalling one of the supervisors that just wants to only hand count ballots. So I'm just curious to see the showdown that's going to happen with that. And I was just wondering if you knew about it.
Yeah, I was aware of that. In fact, it happened, I want to say, was it about a year ago? I want to say that I think it was about a year ago that Shasta County ended up having that deal with paper ballots, no machines, and results tallied entirely by hand. In other words, they'd actually conduct Election Day on Election Day, and they'd count them on Election Day evening and then have the results for you, you know, that same evening. And I am aware of this. I was not aware, though, that there was a recall to pull out people that wanted to do it this way. That's interesting. I was not aware of that. So thanks for letting me know, okay? It's 9 minutes after 7. We'll have to keep an eye on that one. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Patio season weather is coming, and Tara from the Foundation Systems is here if you need us. Our outdoor spaces have never been more important than the past few years. If your concrete patio is cracked, settling, or separating, Tara Firma can restore and restabilize sunken concrete in just a few hours. The foam technology settles underneath and lifts patios, garage slabs, steps, and more. It's fast and affordable. Get your outdoor spaces ready with Tara Firma. Visit GoTerraFirma.com. That's GoTerraFirma.com.
KMED and KCMD Morning Weather, sponsored by Advanced Air and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to deliver intelligent heating and cooling solutions and award-winning service. Visit MyAdvancedAir.com.
I'm meteorologist Bobby J for NBC5. We'll have some light snow showers this morning. Then snow levels will be climbing as we're getting through the next couple of days. As our next storm system moves in, brings in more rain late today, going through Tuesday and early Wednesday. High today of 42.
When you hire a contractor, the last worry you should have is, are they capable enough to handle the job? A well drilling contractor is no different, especially with tough drilling conditions Southern Oregon can encompass. Clouser Drilling invests in capable machinery, tooling, and personnel. Equipped to handle these conditions. They operate four modern rotary drill rigs with capabilities from air rotary, mud rotary, and drill and drive casing advancement systems. Combine this with over 50 years and thousands of wells drilled, and worry no more. Contact Clouser Drilling or visit clouserdrilling.com.
While retinitis pigmentosa takes Mark's vision, his family gives him hope, whether at the family business or at home with his wife and sons. He knows he's not fighting alone. For 50 years, the Foundation Fighting Blindness has funded research into treatments and cures for blinding retinal diseases, providing hope to people with vision loss. And for Mark, winning the fight means being there for his family. The Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Help us end blinding diseases at fightingblindness.org.
The Bill Myers Show, 106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD.
11 minutes after 7, Mr. Outdoors is back after yet another Sportsman and Outdoors Show. What was it? What, oddly enough, wasn't it Northern California, Mr. Outdoors? How you doing, Greg Roberts? Good to have you back.
Yeah, and to be more exact, Shasta County. We were in Anderson over the weekend at the Shasta District Fairgrounds, doing our sportsman show down there. And so the last call that came in, of course, was like, yeah, I was just there. And yeah, I'm well aware of what's going on down there. And totally agree with what he was saying in the call.
Okay, well, let's do that here in just a second. And the Outdoor Report and some politics, too, sponsored by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, driven by Linex on Airway Drive in Bedford. So we'll talk about the weather and everything else here. But let's do a little politics first here. And with Shasta, of course, with paper ballots only and hand counting, they're not doing the machines at all. They're doing it old school, the way it was. State of California, of course, not very happy with this. And I did not realize that there was a recall going for one of the Board of Supervisors, the equivalent of our county commissioner down there, that that was in favor of this way of conducting elections. So what was your impression there at the outdoor show? How it's feeling there?
Well, overwhelming. that it, people were against it. They're supporting the supervisor. Mm. There's attempting to be a recall. And basically, you know, the way they made it sound was like, you know, if you took Anderson, which officially within the city has about 12,000 people in it, and everybody in Anderson decided, yeah, we got to get rid of this guy. And then you've got Redding with about 100,000. You've got virtually everybody else in Shasta County's like, no, we don't think this is a good idea. And yet somehow that small group forced it onto the ballot. What I heard down there over the weekend, this guy is going to safely retain his seat because everybody's furious because he's trying to make sure that voting gets done the way it's supposed to get done and not the way it's evolved into. And there's a lot of out-of-the-area support for the recall that people are upset about, which includes Gavin Newsom. You know, and so once again, what I was really reminded of being there this weekend is there are literally, it's not one California, there's multiple Californias, and what we saw this weekend is the fact that, you know, this whole state of Jefferson alignment idea, it wasn't as far-fetched as people think. We were having the discussion, and then I blew everybody's mind because I knew something they didn't know. State of Jefferson was 7 business days away from happening. And then the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor
and then,
never came back
around. Never came back around after that. And that was it.
Yep.
Interesting that, wow, all right. This, I find it fascinating how controversial it is to not use machines and to hand count ballots and to have people, you know, to me, it is absolutely the most proper way of doing an election. It's out in the open. Everyone's watching it happen rather than, you know, how do we get to the point where we somehow thought that it was far superior to have proprietary software and multinational billion-dollar corporations in charge of counting votes, which is, in essence, addition? It's an additive process. That's all it is. You know, there aren't supposed to be any algorithms involved with it, nothing about putting any machines on the internet, nothing like that, and nothing which required proprietary software, or at least it shouldn't. Yeah, that's the way
right,
I would look at it.
Think.
Yeah, yeah.
And, that or vote by mail, anyone?
Oh, yeah, what could go wrong here? No chain of custody there. All right.
Yeah.
It's a well, it's led to what we've had, what I've termed, and what you probably would agree with, a faith-based election system in which we have faith that we have good people running everything and that the bad actors that are out there have no influence on the process. And, just no way to prove it.
Recall of a supervisor who merely wants voting done the way it should be done is what's happening in the Senate race. And you can't turn the TV on down there without seeing political ads. And right now, there's 2 guys battling it out for the chance to be the Republican to run against Adam Schiff or Dianne Feinstein's Senate seat.
Yep.
Of course, everybody knows Steve Garvey. He's got all the name recognition, Dodger great, all of that.
By the way, he's number one in the polling from UC Berkeley. That just came out the other day that Garvey is now number one in the primary.
Yeah.
And now it's much more competitive on the Democratic side. You got to understand that doesn't mean that Garvey necessarily wins the general election, but because the Democrats, there are 2 or 3 big Democrats along with Shifty Schiff trying to get their nomination, right?
Well, and so you've got Garvey and his closest major competitor. The political ads against them are hilarious. All it basically comes down to is MAGA. And in the case of Garvey's most closest competitor, they go, he supports the Second Amendment. Bill, where's your music that goes, dun, 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 dun?
Oh, Steve Garvey supports the Second Amendment?
Oh. There you go.
Yep. Well, you can't have that. This is California, for crying out loud. Yeah.
Yeah, and it got rather comical, but yet, get ready. We're going to see that spread across the country because the Democrats have nothing to offer anybody, really. They don't. They know it. So it's going to be when you see Democrats going after Republicans, it's going to be all about MAGA, and it's going to be all about they support the Second Amendment.
Okay. All right. Duly noted there, Mr. Outdoors. Now, why don't we talk a little bit of outdoors here for the next few, if it's okay. And, well, I'll tell you, over the weekend, it was pretty wild weather up here and quite a bit of snow in spots there, especially higher elevation. And I have to do a little hiking into the Jacksonville site here. Am I going to be able to get up there without surprise? Because there's Pacific Power was up there with a like a little mini snowcat yesterday, putting or taking care of a downed power line up there that had been gone. And it was like a winter wonderland, a foot deep at least, if not more.
Well, I think you're going to have to put out the call to your friend Snowmobile Steve to get access because, you know, like you said, some of those spots. Well, I have friends of mine that live not too far away from that site you're talking about.
Yeah.
There is a good foot to maybe as much as 18 inches at their house.
No kidding. Because what I was thinking about doing was taking the 4Runner, going up a little bit, and then just hiking the rest of it in and just walking in.
Yeah. Nope. If you can get access to a friend with a snowmobile or a tracked UTV, that's what you're going to need.
Oh, okay. All right.
I can tell you that right now, yeah, because, you know, these people live up on a hill. They come in, you know, off of 238, and then they got a bit of a drive, and they got a pretty steep gradient to get up to their house. And, you know, they're posting these pictures and going, yeah, basically, we're not doing anything but staying at home, and it's just, it's beautiful. But like I said, as the crow flies, maybe a mile and a half from your transmitter site.
Okay, yeah, that's all the same neighborhood, and it's about 3,000 feet, so that's that sweet spot. So even today with higher snow levels, they're going to get more snow in these higher hills,
well,
right?
Maybe, and here's the thing, you know, what we're looking at happening, there's going to be a warm front pushing up from the south, but there's still cold air draining in and coming in from the north, and looking at what Medford National Weather Service put up this morning.
Hey, Greg, can you hang on just a second? Hang on just a second. Okay. Have some breaking news that just came across the crawl here. The Supreme Court did that ruling this morning, 9-0. They were unanimous that Colorado cannot disqualify Trump from the ballot. Okay, just wanted to make sure people knew that. Okay, so that just broke. That was just happened. Just got that out. Okay. So,
and I'll tell you what, I'm happy to see them finally upholding pure constitutionality, because on pure constitutionality, that never should have happened. And if they would have done anything different, I would have been shocked, especially after hearing the questions from the liberals on the court.
Oh, I know. You had the liberal, I think it was Sotomayor, that was saying, boy, you know, you think it's a really good idea to have one state deciding on who's going to be president, you know, that kind of thing, just by denying from the ballot. It makes a lot of sense what happened. Even the court's liberal minority was looking at this and going, nah, I don't think so. So it was smackdown.
Recent appointee to the court who couldn't clearly define what a woman was, she actually asked some of the toughest questions when they were hearing the case. And I was going, oh, yeah, if she's asking this and she's got this mindset, there's no way this thing is going to get through.
Yeah, so it's done, and it was smacked down hard. And a lot of people were thinking that you have to, there has to be a hearing and they have to go through. No, they can make that kind of a decision like that without going through the same several-month process that they do on some of the other cases. It's unusual that they would do this, but I'm sure the court realized that this was they need to come up with an expedient answer here, given the fact that we're right in the primary season right now. That was really a matter of importance.
And of course, this also smacks down the very personal decision of the Secretary of State in Maine.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's all gone. All that goes away. They cannot disqualify the president on this issue. Okay, 7:22. All right. I'm sorry we really interrupted you there. Okay, but I wanted to make sure people knew that. And what else here about on the weather? What can we look forward to this week here? What do you say?
So today's going to be the most interesting day because, you know, we have this battle of boundary lines between warmer air and colder air. Mm-hmm. Where that settles is going to be the big question. And right now, Medford National Weather Service is seeming to think that boundary level here is going to settle between Grants Pass and Canyonville. So the quad passes north of Grants Pass, Sexton may not have that much trouble, but you get to Canyon Mountain and it's just dumping snow up there. So we're already seeing something kind of similar in the fact that Cave Junction, I almost said Canyonville again, but Cave Junction out to the west, Oregon Mountain, throughout the weekend, it was kind of amazing to watch how much snow they were getting. And then yesterday, coming north out of Redding, here's the one that will really get your attention. I promise you, Highway 199 at Oregon Mountain, Collier Tunnel, got far more snow out of this storm set than Mount Shasta City or Siskiyou Summit.
Really? Okay. How much did they get there overall?
Honestly, Mount Shasta City and Siskiyou Summit, just eyeballing it, coming back yesterday based off what I saw on Thursday when I went down, maybe 6 to 8 inches at both. And out there at Oregon Mountain, it's looking more like it's probably around 2 feet at the peak of that storm cycle. Eureka NWS put out a winter storm warning for Oregon Mountain Collier Tunnel area and said they could get up to 30 inches of snow. And based on the fact that it continued to dump snow there through the weekend, it's still snowing out there right now. They're probably going to make that.
All right. As far as snow goes in snowy, wintry conditions, is it pretty much this way until maybe Thursday and then it starts lightening up a bit? What are you saying?
We've got this next major storm that's going to be coming into the region today. So we do have winter storm warnings up again. Snow levels will be moving up. Again, today's going to be kind of interesting because of where the boundary line sets up at and how snow levels can kind of bounce around. Microclimating is definitely going to have an impact here. This is one of these days where when we get to the afternoon, you'll have people 1,000 feet elevation still getting snow, and then other people at 2,500 feet will be seeing rain.
Okay.
So this is a forecaster's nightmare because the potential for really low elevation snow is there. So you have to say snow can be seen down to 1,000 feet, but anybody hearing that in Jackson, Josephine counties, don't take that as a blanket 1,000 feet. When we say can be seen to 1,000 feet, what we're more saying is snow levels are going to be variable, and they could be as low as 1,000 feet. That's what it really boils down to.
All right, very good. Outdoor Report, sponsored by Oregon Truck and Ottawa Authority, driven by Linex on Airway Drive in Medford. Mr. Outdoors, of course, Greg Roberts at RogueWeather.com. Appreciate the report. You be well. Congressman Benz will be joining us here in just a few minutes here, Greg, so I'm looking forward to hearing what's going on in the swamp from him.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's going to have thoughts on the Supreme Court decision just announced, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Greg, thanks so much. We'll catch you next Monday, okay? Be well.
You got it, Bill.
Greg Roberts, it is 726 at KMED, KCMD. Questions on insurance. A lot of times the question is, oh, my goodness, can you save me from this renewal notice that I just got, right? You know, that kind of thing. You open up the envelope and you're saying, all right, your homeowner's insurance, especially maybe if you're in the rural areas, doubling, tripling, quadrupling. It's been a real challenge out there. You need to get in touch with Steve Yancey at Sky Park Insurance. Any questions about insurance, whether it's auto, home, life, renters, covering your personal belongings, they do it all at Sky Park Insurance. And Steve Yancey is an independent, and he works not just with one company, but many of them. And I'll tell you, working with many companies right now, especially when it comes to homeowners coverage in the rural lands, very, very important to know. Get in touch with him at 261-5444, 261-5444. The website, skyparkins.com. Steve has saved KMED and KCMD listeners many hundreds of dollars, if not thousands of dollars per year, depending on who you talk to. I get the stories. I get the emails, all right? 261-5444 or skyparkins.com.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
When you shop Grover Electric and Plumbing, you're backed with a 70-year reputation of customer service, quality products, and everyday low prices. You need it? Grover has it in stock. Solving everyday electrical and plumbing problems is no problem. Contractors and do-it-yourselfers agree. Grover is the store for me. For a location near you, visit groverelectric.com.
When you shop Grover, worries are over.
The Rogue Gardener, sponsored by Grange Co-op.
If we select certain plants and manage a habitat with a purpose, even a small plot can provide very high quality overwintering habitat for the insects that pollinate our plants and beneficial insects that attack harmful insects in our gardens.
Call Stan Saturdays 10 to noon and Sunday morning encore at 9 on KMED and KCMD.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Republican states have sent thousands of National Guard troops to the border. Thank goodness for these governors. Republicans are doing that. The amount of fentanyl pouring across the border is the leading cause of death now for Americans age 18 to 49. Why are we allowing this and not stopping it? They're murdering our children. ICE arrested over 100 Biden illegals who committed child sexual assault and murder. They're not vetting them. They're coming from Iran, Syria, Afghanistan, Egypt, China, and Russia. We absolutely have terror cells now within this country of ours, and that they're plotting, planning, and scheming another 9/11 or worse. Think I'm wrong? Tell me I'm wrong. Call me up.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
The world is becoming more and more unstable by the day, and many Americans are not waiting around to find out how bad it could get. They're making the decision to diversify their wealth with precious metals like gold and silver. And they're turning to the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Goldco is a 7-time Inc. 5000 winner with over 5,000 five-star reviews, and they've helped thousands of Americans place over $2 billion in gold and silver. They're Sean Hannity's top choice, and right now, they're offering up to $10,000 in bonus silver. But it's first come, first served, and only while supplies last. So don't wait. Call Goldco at 855-815-GOLD to learn how you could get started today. Tell them Sean Hannity sent you and see if you qualify for up to $10,000 in bonus silver. Don't let this chaotic world get in the way of your goals. Follow Sean Hannity's lead and call Goldco today at 855-815-GOLD. That's 855-815-GOLD. 855-815-GOLD.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD. And this is the Bill Myers Show.
7:30. Hey, this guy's like right on time. Your minders are keeping you on time here, Congressman Benz. Welcome to the show. Great to have you on. Great to have you back.
Bill, great to be with you. And being on time is a pretty important thing back here, I'll tell you.
I'll bet. Yeah, everything based on the time, that is for sure. Congressman Cliff Benz with us this morning. Hey, Congressman, I imagine none of us have been able to read the decision yet, but it does appear that the Supreme Court, 9-0, smacked down Colorado. So all of this talk about we're going to use the 14th Amendment to deny former President Trump a spot on the ballot. Looks like that's gone. That's over now, I guess.
It's over now, and thank goodness it's over now. It was I don't want to say it was ridiculous. That would be rude. But the court did exactly what it should have done, and a unanimous 9-0 verdict. Different opinions, as I understand it. So I'm looking forward to reading them. But very, very happy for the result.
Now this is a pretty busy week for Congress. Congressman Benz, because I guess the vote is happening to try to keep the government open and avoid a government shutdown. Generally speaking, they're not going to do a shutdown. That's the way conventional wisdom is playing out here. But there is one aspect of this whole budget talk that I don't know. Does anybody care about that latest stat coming out? I forget who put it out there first, but that the government debt, the overall public debt, is growing $1 trillion every 100 days, and it's speeding up. And is there any real discussion among your colleagues there, both Democrat and Republican, about, hey, this is, you just can't keep borrowing our way to prosperity at this point? Any thoughts on that?
Well, Bill, there is absolutely real discussion. The challenge, though, is that these discussions, when you're trying to slow down the spending train that the Democrats have created, are really hard. Mm. And so I can't tell you, Bill, the number of people that come into my office
from Oregon and from you know some of them, and they come in and they say, hey, we need your help and we need money. And I go, no. And I have a stack of articles over here. Literally, I think I'm on my second 100 of these articles that call out how far in the hole we are. And I hand them out to people that come in. And I'm sure that people listening to your show that have been here asking for money, they're going to nod their head because I handed them each this article that says we're broke and people don't want to hear it. I don't do earmarks. And I'll tell you right now, I have taken all kinds of heat from my district for not doing earmarks.
Is it considered that you're leaving money on the table? Is that the way they would approach it? Or
leaving borrowed money on the table, that's the important part of that that's left out.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically one of those deals, Bill, where people are saying, let's get as much as we can before it all blows apart. That's what's going on. And I'm saying, you guys, that is not going to work. And it's not a popular thing, and that's why people don't want to talk about it, because it's just too frightening to a lot of people. And I keep assuring them that we're going to protect the programs that they're relying upon and that are necessary, but they just don't want to talk about it. And you may recall a year ago during the State of the Union when President Biden stood up and said how we Republicans wanted to cut Social Security, and Marjorie Taylor Greene standing right behind me said. And stood up and screamed, "No, you lie!" at the top of her lungs, and the truth of it is, he was lying. But the problem is, when it's this political, it's very, very, very difficult to have a rational conversation.
And there are many third rails, political third rails in the system. There, Congressman Benz, I was talking with Rick Manning from Americans for Limited Government on Friday. And he was talking about the open hearings that Democrats have been having for several years now on taking 401ks, or maybe not taking it, but in other words, persuading you to fold it into the Social Security Trust Fund and then bring it over into the regular budget then to save Social Security. But in essence, the beginning of the end of private retirement under the guise of saving Social Security. Is that being talked about loudly at this point, or do they kind of shut up given that it's an election year?
They shut up because it's an election year.
Okay.
I have not heard that concept at all, but I'm not a Democrat, so that's probably why.
Well, they actually held hearings. I think it was before you were actually in Congress. That may be why. But it was quite interesting, quite open about it. And the challenge, although as rough as Social Security can look like from a fiscal perspective, Medicare is actually really the big one, right? That's the big one that's hemorrhaging red ink big time.
Yes. Well, yeah. If you want to go back and check and see why we're spending this year, I think, $3 trillion more than's coming in the door, it's going to be these entitlement programs. But the trouble with this bill is that many, 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 many people are totally dependent upon those programs, and those people have to be protected.
Absolutely, and that's, I said, we're not saying that, hey, it's horrible that you're on these things, because we, in essence, we've been paying it for a long time. Well, it's like even you look at Social Security, 15% of your income into that, and Medicare, right? The taxes for years and years and years and years. And that's money that didn't get saved. That's money that got sent to the federal government. And now we know realistically that money, most of the time that you paid into the Social Security system, went immediately to someone who was a current recipient at that time. You know, a lot of people don't realize that. And Social Security has always been run in the way that if a private business tried to do it, you'd be arrested. But, oh, well, I guess that's government privilege for you, right, Congressman? You know, do it that way.
Yeah, well, I would just say, I'm very happy for the conversation, and we've been having many of them here because, as most people know, particularly those who are receiving Social Security, the program, the reserves that are in the program run out in about 9 years. And so when that happens, then the amount of money coming in the door for the program is about three-quarters of the amount needed to go out the door. And so if we're going to protect the program, we need to start talking about it.
Yeah.
There are people in our caucus who are experts in this space, and they are, and I'm not an expert, but I certainly have been saying we've got to form the commission that we always form, because these are complex political and money issues, very complex, and you can't just jump in and do something without really, really, really carefully working it through. And then you've got to make sure everybody supports you. So that conversation is long overdue, and we've got to figure out who's going to be on that group, and we have to have a resolution establishing the group. And that's one of the things that is being talked about and has been talked about, actually, since I got here.
Congressman, what is the change in the Senate with Mitch McConnell retiring and leaving leadership? Does that affect the House's business in any way?
Oh, absolutely. Although I would like to say it doesn't, but you really can't fully discuss any issue without ultimately recognizing that the Senate has as much to say about it as we do. And so the challenge for the Senate now is to find somebody as politically astute as McConnell. He was is one of the smartest politicians that's ever graced the hall of Congress.
Well, you don't stay there for multiple decades by being a dummy. You just can't. You know,
nope.
You have to be no doubt about it as far as his political effectiveness. Do you think that the country or that Republican values will be served better by a new Senate leader, though? What is your opinion about that? I'm curious.
Yes. Well, I don't think there's any doubt that one of the reasons, this is my own opinion, that Leader McConnell is stepping down is because he does not get along with President Trump.
Oh.
And so he recognizes that when President Trump is elected, that relationship needs to work more smoothly than what would be the case with him retaining that leadership position. So I think part of this, I haven't talked to him, so this is just me guessing, but I'm thinking that he is stepping down partially because he thinks somebody else would be able to work with President Trump better than he.
I think that's a reasonable opinion there, Congressman. Congressman Cliff Benz with me this morning, 7:39. Congressman, you've had a number of meetings in the district lately. Anything interesting that you have learned from them? Anything that strikes you of interest that we'd like to know more about? Maybe the Gray Wolves or anything else going on there?
The Gray Wolves. Well, I'm going to talk about the Gray Wolves briefly, but I'll tell you that the issue that comes up over and over and over and over is the border. I'll just tell you that's the top issue. But let me talk about wolves for a moment. We had a wolf incident down in Lake County where wolves got into a herd of cattle of 300 to 400. And when cattle are around wolves, cattle run as fast as they can go. And they ran through barbed wire fence and they headed north and kept on going up into that burned area where the bootleg fire was and scattered around 300 or 400 head. And I grew up on a ranch. I know exactly what that means. You get your horse and you go, you start riding and try to find these 200 or 300 head of cattle. It's a lot of work. And when they're running and they're scared, they keep going. And it's really, really a challenge for the folks that own them. And so we had this meeting and the people that had that ranch came in and along with about 30 other folks there. In Klamath Falls, it was a great meeting, and we decided we would have another one up in Prineville, and we did a better job of advertising it, and we had about 100 people there, and they also are encountering these difficulties with wolves. And so I explained to everyone that I'd spoken with my committee staff, because I'm chairman of the Committee on Water, Wildlife, and Fisheries, and that we were going to have a wolf hearing, and we're currently discussing where the people up in Minnesota are having the same trouble that wolves are doing their way through that what used to be a huge deer population and destroying the hunting and other opportunities in Minnesota. And so their Congressman Pete Stauber came over to me on the floor and he said, hey, thank you so much for taking on this issue. And can you please have the hearing in Minnesota? And so we're trying to decide right now where to have that field hearing and if everybody can make it. It's a huge issue. I don't know, Bill, the psychological impact on a cow or a sheep of a wolf is inbred into them, and they run when that happens, and their psychological makeup is affected. We're trying to find a veterinarian from Oregon State University to come in and talk about the decline then in birth rates on cattle herds when when wolves are introduced.
So it's a real trauma on the industry, on animal husbandry. I didn't know that. Okay.
Well, yeah, but people don't. They say, well, the only damage a wolf does is when it kills a calf. No, that's not true at all. When you affect a herd of cattle this way, they're not going to have the number of calves. Your calving percentage is going to drop, and you're going to lose money and significantly more than is the case in a serious enough when a calf is killed. So the main purpose of my being here, I think, and being from the ranching community is to call these things out, and we're going to do so.
Congressman, I had a number of listeners write me, and I thought I'd get the opportunity to ask you a quick question about that. And given that the Republican lead was so slim in Congress, people are asking and wondering why you voted to expel Santos. And now, a lot of Republicans join you. You weren't alone on that one. But what was the story going on behind the scenes? Because it would seem to damage you as the Republicans in Congress, what little majority there was. What do you think?
Well, Santos is what I'll call a challenged personality. His history of exaggeration and saying things that weren't true was one thing, but that wasn't the reason I voted to expel Santos. I voted to expel Santos because he had been taking money from people who were contributing to his campaign and using it for personal purposes. And frankly, I could not stand by and allow that to continue to happen. So he had a history of taking money that people gave to him for campaign purposes and then using it to buy clothes and other things. And that you cannot stand by and have someone do that. You can't. You have to step up. Now, the what should have happened is he should have been appropriately prosecuted by the Department of Justice. He was not, and so we could stand by and watch as he perhaps chose to continue those practices. He had every opportunity to have a hearing in our ethics committee. He chose not to come in and address these issues, and so his due process rights as far as our ethics approach were more than satisfied. But you can't stand by and watch someone take advantage of people. You can't do it. Now, it's one thing to say things, and everybody says stuff here that may or may not be absolutely right. So that's not, I don't think, a reason to be expelled. But taking money from people, that's a reason that you can't let people be here. It's
okay. Okay. I'm glad I had the opportunity to ask you about that then. Now then, is anything really going to happen to Mayorkas? Because here we are once again in a hot election season. And the impeachment of Secretary Mayorkas. What do you say?
Yes, well, let's remember there's been, prior to Mayorkas' impeachment, one other cabinet member impeached in the history of the United States. So something's already happened. He's been impeached. He's number two of cabinet secretaries for that purpose. The Senate, of course, as everybody knows, has I would say the obligation to go ahead now and hold a trial that is prosecuted by members of the Republican majority over here in the House, the managers that have been appointed for that purpose. Whether the Senate will go forward with this or not, I don't know. I'm going to guess they're going to chicken out and bail out and dismiss the matter or refer it back to committee, but hopefully I'm wrong. But I just want to say this. Because there were eight of us that voted to send Marjorie Taylor Greene's first set of articles back in November back to committee to get them right, to have included in the articles that we then voted for two and a half, three months later, to have the content of those articles be the proper foundation for impeachment.
In other words, the legal dotting of I's and crossing of T's, right? You had to do it right.
Well, there's something that makes it very difficult, I think, for the Democrats in the Senate now to say, "Oh, you have an inappropriate set of articles, and we're just going to send them back to committee to get them right." We robbed them of that argument, and we had to do it right, and we did do it right, and I'm happy for that. Now, if they want to not do their job, we can say, "Look, you don't have the excuse that might have existed back in November. Mm-hmm. We got it right."
Because all you can do in the House is charge. All you can do is charge with the high crimes and misdemeanors. It's up to the Senate to try. And that what they do with it is what the Senate will do, one way or the other.
Yes. Yeah, essentially, an impeachment is an indictment mm-hmm. by the House. Then it's up to the Senate to conduct the trial. The prosecuting group will be our Republicans, that the managers that have been appointed to go over and bring in the evidence to show that he did indeed commit high crimes and misdemeanors.
All right. How much work do you think is going to come out of the Senate to actually give us some real border reform? Not the Senate bill, but just trying to get what the House has already suggested needs to be done. Is there enough heat on the issue that you believe that we may get something finally happening, even though this is a big election year?
Yeah. Well, it's my hope that something will happen, and there's something that needs to happen that would be most effective right now would be the Remain in Mexico policy, to reinstate it. Mm-hmm. And that, it's told by Border Patrol people, would reduce the numbers of people coming in inappropriately by 70, that's 70%. And so, yeah, that would be my hope, that we would get the Remain in Mexico policy back. And it's been included, as I understand it, in one of the bills that we may see come to the floor. There are 8 elements that contained in our H.R. 2 bill, House Resolution Number 2, that's been in the Senate now for over a year and being ignored. And so Remain in Mexico is one of those. And so it's my hope that we get something done out of the Senate that's along those lines. The fact that they haven't taken up our 8-point H.R. 2 illustrates the fact that we're probably never going to get all of those, but mm-hmm. at least if we can get people, that would be a step in the right direction.
What role could Congress play in stripping funding from all of those anonymous charter buses that are funneling illegal aliens to the various parts, including Southern Oregon, Congressman? I mean, I'm sure you've heard of all about it. And all sorts of migrants piling out of these buses into town, and it's coming from feds along with the NGOs. Can Congress get that granular any longer and strip that kind of activity out of the funding bill?
You can say the short answer is sure. You can put something in the bill that says you shall not spend money on exactly what you just said. You can do that, or Congress can do that. Now, would that make its way through the Senate and across the president's desk? Unlikely.
That's the question. Okay.
You could try it, but you can get that granular. Now, there's so many ways around it. It makes it very, very difficult, but you can get that granular if you can get it through the Senate.
All right. Anything else that we should know before we take off and cut you loose to your next appointment? I know you probably have 50 today.
That would have quite a few. I would say that we do have the State of the Union coming up this week, Thursday night. And so I'm looking forward to hopefully hearing the president talk about things like high interest rates and the border, we hope, and natural gas. Why in the world he's doing natural gas export limitations and making the situation there more difficult. I mean, maybe he'll even talk about the HER report and the phrase that he's a sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. Maybe he'll bring that up. I'm looking forward to attending the State of the Union.
All right. All right. Looking forward to hearing more. And Congressman, we always appreciate the time. You are welcome any moment you want to come on. Okay. You take care. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
751, Congressman Cliff Bent. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Hey, it's Lars here with my trusted friend in the real estate market, Jared Hokanson with Hokanson Realty. If I were listing today, what advice would you give me, Jared?
Lars, that is a fantastic question. Thanks for asking. For my clients that are listing today, one of the key things that I'm telling them is, hey, we're not in the same market that we were in within the last year or two. With the rise in interest rates and what's been going on with the feds and things like that, it's changing the market. And so it's more important than ever to make sure that they hire a company and a real estate agent that knows how to adapt to the changing market. And that's exactly what we're doing for our clients in order to get them top dollar. And we give advice on what it takes to do that. And then we put our marketing machine to work to maximize the amount of money that they can get for the sale of their property as well.
Thanks, Jared. Call Jared Hokanson today at 541-772-SOLD. 541-772-SOLD. Or go online to 541-772-SOLD.com and start packing.
This hour of The Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
Hi, it's Jolene at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. If you're wondering about the condition of your tires, stop in and we'll check your tread level and give you an honest assessment on wear and your ability to navigate wet, slick roads. And if you need new tires, Phoenix Auto Center has a great selection of top brands like General, Hercules, Cooper, Continental, Falcon, Mastercraft, BF Goodrich, and more. For the best tire prices and service, see your local family-owned Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main in Phoenix.
Freddy's Diner in Old Town Eagle Point has a menu designed to appeal to everyone in the family. Choose from 13 hearty burgers served with fresh-cut fries, crisp and moist pressure-fried chicken, hand-dipped fish and chips, beer-battered prawns, sandwiches, steaks, salads, and more. Dine in or check out the menu online. Call in your order, and it'll be waiting for a quick and easy pickup. Support your local restaurants. Freddy's Diner on Main and Old Town Eagle Point.
Open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day for lunch and dinner.
Millett Construction has been a general contractor for 40 years. For the last 20 years, they've specialized in foundation repair and replacement. If you have sloping floors, cracks in walls, and windows and doors that are hard to open, you have a foundation problem that's only getting worse. At Millett Construction, they not only fix your foundation and level your house, they solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Call Millett Construction for a free estimate. Visit MillettConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
Hi, this is Lisa, the Hughes Lumber Girl, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
754. 770-5633. Appreciate you waking up this morning. Michael Shaw is here. Hey, Michael. Saw you're on hold with when I was talking with Congressman Benson. Didn't get a chance to get you on here. In fact, I think I went over time even on the 15 that I had. But anyway, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Yeah, so let's just approach this like he's still there listening in. So, Congressman, two questions that are related together here. One, you said, and we all agree, that this country is broke.
Mm-hmm.
When an individual or a corporation is broke, they have to sell assets to cover their debt. The United States is sitting on about 600 million acres of land, so to get out of debt, they should be selling assets, i.e. selling land.
Mm-hmm.
We could pay down that debt, get out of the trouble we're in, and then go forward. Congressman, do you agree or not with that? That's number one.
I would be willing to bet you that he would be. And that would certainly take an act of Congress and would have to get through the whole process. But normally, a place that is acting normally when you're in debt to that extent and ready to go banco. And essentially, the United States is functionally bankrupt. There's no doubt about that. You know, when you look at it in general accounting principles, you know that, being a business person.
Well, absolutely. And the biggest asset the federal government has is land. 600 million acres is huge.
And a lot of it, heck, you have the feds controlling, 52% of Oregon? And then more with the state control of land, too?
Right. The bulk of the 600 million acres is in the 7 or 8 or 9 western states.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the eastern side doesn't have the issues we have with land. That's number one. But number two, tied together with that, once we decide we're going to get out of debt and we start selling assets to pay that debt down, Congressman, would you introduce or even support, if somebody else introduces it, a one-item, one-bill rule? You can only put in a bill that covers one item, not all the pork barrel spend that gets tacked on and whatever else. And you and I have talked about this before. So if you have a bill that says fund highway, have a bill that says fund highway.
You couldn't then add, oh, by the way, we're going to fund your local pool development or something like that, right? You know, that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
So those are all tied together. So one, getting out of debt is selling your assets, and two, staying out of debt is revising what we do going forward.
Mm-hmm. I would be willing to bet you he would be willing on the public land to sell that off, because certainly some of the biggest problems that we have in the state of Oregon are based on federal control of these lands, because they're really bad landlords. And the counties, and Cliff knows all about that, having been a former state senator, The counties really are hurt by federal control of all these lands. They don't pay their own way. We know that. So I'd be willing to keep. Now, the challenge that you run into, do you think the state of Oregon, I'm talking about the state of Oregon government that would have probably influence on a policy like this, do you think they would actually like that? Because their whole reason to exist, Michael Shaw, is to keep land expensive and undevelopable. I don't know if that's a word, if I stumbled over that a little bit. You know, they want everything in amber, you know, as it is. That's why they have Senate Bill 100, and you're supposed to have urban growth boundaries. We're all supposed to be living in our 15-minute climate-friendly, equitable hive mind, eating our mille feuilles sandwich. So do you think they'd really like the idea of federal land being sold off?
Well, there's no politician, state or federal level, that likes what I just said.
Oh, yeah.
Because what I'm talking about is basic, we'll just call it common sense, and reduces the possibility or probability of power being utilized on these bills. Saying, okay, I'm John Doe senator, and I will support your beehive bill if you support my water pool bond, whatever it is.
So you're thinking that ends up cutting down the deal-making to an extent?
Absolutely. Oh. Because you have a bill that says we're going to build a pool, you up or down. You want to build a pool or not?
Yeah. The only thing I would say, though, about selling off property to pay off the debt, I don't think the debt will ever be paid off because the way the system is set up, as I understand it, now I could be wrong. I'm sure someone will set me straight if I'm wrong about this, is that you pay the debt off, you extinguish the money, it is essentially deflationary. And I don't think they want deflationary. What do you think?
Well, of course not. I mean, they like the system as it's set up, even though it is detrimental to everyone in this country.
And essentially it turns everybody, every working person, into a debt slave. Yeah.
Well, absolutely. I mean, and the politics isn't about doing good for the country. Politics is about power. We all know that.
Democrats play that game better, though, don't they?
They unfortunately, they fine-tuned it over many decades, and they get away with it.
Yeah, so far. Yeah, but on the other hand, a fiscal crisis, a lot of things can happen in a fiscal crisis. I appreciate the call, though, Michael. Always thoughtful. I love thoughtful calls. Get me thinking. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome. Hello?
Hi. Hi, my name is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
And hi, Bill. I'm calling in. This is, I don't know if it's okay to go off topic or not. I'm calling in about a $400 bill I received from Asante back from 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And my accounts were totally paid off, both mine and my husband's. When I called their billing office, I was told that they are now using a third party to dig up old debt to collect on.
Oh.
And I would like everybody to be aware of this. This gal removed the charge because it was illegal for them to charge me that, I guess, from that far back. But I would just like people to know if you get a random bill from Asante, definitely question it.
You know, you got to figure that both Asante and Prov, you know, the big companies, a lot of them, they lost money over the COVID time. I know there was so much federal money sloshing through the system, but overall it did put strain on the books. So one of the easiest ways is to go back there and find out, okay, who didn't pay us, and go after them.
Yeah.
And so they, in other words, they have a collection agency that is working it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a third party. Well, not so much collection. This was a bill that I would not have been required to pay anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. I would not have been required to pay it anyway, but this third party company tried to dig it up and say that I was, and they quickly removed it and told me I was not liable for it, but they did explain that, and my husband not too soon after that got one as well. And so I was like, that's it. I'm calling the Bill Meyer Show.
Okay. So be very careful. You get those, make sure you question it. And you know, if you honestly owe it, okay, well then you can certainly do that. But, but in other words, double check that you're really owing it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
Hey,
thank you so much. I appreciate everything you do.
Hey, thank you very much. Thanks for letting us know. A couple minutes after 8, KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KCMD, Grants Pass, Translator, K. K294 AS Ashland.
Your smile is the key to your health and confidence. Do you know that it is possible in a single day to replace a mouthful of bad teeth or ill-fitting dentures with a beautiful implant-supported smile? For so many of my patients, this has been a life-changing experience. Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Johnson of Dental Excellence. I met a man in my office who came for a free consultation. He said to me, "Dr. Johnson, I quit going out to eat with my friends. I cover my mouth when I smile. I don't laugh out loud like I used to. I'm tired of all the denture adhesive and not tasting my food." Can you or someone you know relate to this man's story? I'm here to tell you that dental implants can solve your problems and give you a great reason to smile. Start now to regain your health and confidence. Come meet me and my amazing team. The consultation is free.
Call 541-779-6170 or visit MedfordDentalExcellence.com.
Dental Excellence, changing lives one smile at a time.
Hi, is this Grover's Electric and Plumbing Supply?
Yes, it is. What do you need?
I need one of those, what do you call it? It's got the little holes in it and water comes out.
Sprinkler systems?
Yeah.
Grover's has got all kinds.
Okay.
And we can show you how to install them, too.
Good. And I also need some, I forget what you call them. You screw them in and the room gets brighter.
Light bulbs?
Light bulbs, yeah. Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. Does Grover's have those?
Oh, just about any kind you can think of, sir, yeah.
What about, I forget what you call them. They heat water?
Water heaters.
Bingo.
Grover's has got them.
Why don't you put one of those away for me and I'll pick it up tomorrow.
What name should I put that under?
Why don't I just take it with me now?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
The hometown electric and plumbing store you keep hearing about is Grover, home of do-it-yourself and save. Service, price, quality, selection, it's all here. That's why we say your success is our success. For a Grover store near you, visit GroverElectric.com.
Two Dogs Fabricating knows trailers. They sell trailers and repair trailers. So if you'd like your trailer inspected, bring it to the dogs and they'll sniff it out. Two Dogs will check the axles, hitch, tongue, lights, bed, brakes, and more to make sure your trailer's roadworthy. Most trailers on the road are fine, but it's good to have it checked out once a year. They'll scrutinize crucial welds for corrosion and cracks too. And if you need any repairs, you'll get a quick, reasonable estimate. Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way, off Sage in Medford.
KCMD and KMED Weather, sponsored by Advanced Air and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to deliver intelligent heating and cooling solutions and award-winning service. Visit myadvancedair.com.
I'm meteorologist Bobby J for NBC5. We'll have some light snow showers this morning. Then snow levels will be climbing as we're getting through the next couple of days as our next storm system moves in, brings in more rain late today, going through Tuesday and early Wednesday. High today of 42.
5 minutes after 8, and we're at 38 degrees. Gosh, I was talking to Joe. Joe hung up. I guess he wasn't able to make that. Joe, call back in. Always happy to get you on here. We do have Dr. Powers that's going to be joining me here in a couple of minutes where past meets present. We got to talk about the Trump unanimous SCOTUS victory today. And we might bring the president on for a little bit. He's supposed to be talking. We'll see. And, of course, he's very good at talking, no doubt about that. We had the Two Dogs Fabrication ad just a moment ago, which reminds me, we haven't done a dad joke this morning. We need a dad joke of the day after all the serious news, right? So I asked my dog, what's 2 minus 2? He said nothing. Dad joke of the day, sponsored by Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. Now, if you have a better joke than that, head over to twodogsfab.com and email it to them, and maybe you'll hear me talk about it on the show. But Two Dogs Fabricating builds landscaper trucks, hopper, and side dumps. They'll inspect and customize your current trailer to organize and make room for all of your goodies, all your equipment, installing or improving the slide-out ramps to offload equipment easily. And essentially, it's about making your truck and trailer and turning it into the ultimate work rig. And lots of metal fabrication, they can do those things. You're a farmer, you got some broken equipment, and this is the off-season before you have to start planning again. Take it over to Two Dogs Fabricating off Bryan Way, off Sage Road in Medford.